The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always, without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who feared neither God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'Well, it is true that I fear neither God nor respect any human being. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones, who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's parable of the persistent widow is a parable not just about prayer, but about the need to pray with perseverance, persistence, to pray always without losing heart, without quitting, without throwing in the towel. Blessed John Paul II, as well as Pope Benedict, have insisted that the Christian life must be marked above all by prayer. That the most important thing anybody needs to say about us is that we are a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who prays. And doesn't just pray a little, but prays with perseverance. The scene in the parable would have struck the imagination of Jesus' first listeners. A widow had no one to defend her, because in the very patriarchal society of the time, any woman was represented by a man. Her dad when she was young, her husband when she was married, her son after she was widowed. But a widowed mother with no, a widowed woman with no sons, had no one to stick up for. And she was being ripped off. She was being injured. The only one who could defend her was a judge. Now, in Hebrew law, any time that there was an adjudication, there always had to be three elders. When we're talking about a judge here, we're talking about a Roman magistrate. So no real connection to the Jews, no real connection to God, didn't even fear anybody else. Bad man, terribly corrupt official. The woman had no money to bribe him. She had no way to get heard. But she kept knocking. She kept asking. In a sense, you could say she kept harassing the judge. That's a model of our prayer. And Jesus finishes the parable by saying he eventually rendered justice for her. And then Jesus pivots immediately to our prayer toward God. And some can think that Jesus was comparing God to the unjust judge. Whereas what Jesus was doing was contrasting God with the unjust judge. If even an unjust, corrupt official who didn't care about anybody except himself would eventually give a persistent person what the persistent person was asking for in justice, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves you, who will never give you a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread or a poisonous eel when he asks for a fish, how much more will your Heavenly Father give his children what they ask for? But we need to persevere like that persistent widow. Tomorrow, at the very end of the Gospel for Sunday, we will hear Jesus say, "By your perseverance, you'll secure your souls." It's by perseverance in the faith that we secure our salvation. It's not a one-time deal. It's not accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior once and then going about as you please. It's not just about confessing on your lips a few times over the course of your life. Jesus says at the very end that there will be many who said, "We ate and drank with you. We heard you preach in our streets. We worked miracles in your name. We exercised in your name." And Jesus will say, "I never knew you. I never knew you. We never developed that intimate friendship." That's what prayer does. It allows us to develop that friendship. Jesus never says to us, "Do as I tell you." He always says, "Follow me." When he calls us to this type of persevering prayer, he's asking us to follow his example. Jesus used to go out all night and pray, even after an exhausting day of curing sick people one by one. We see what he did during the Garden of Gethsemane, where even when prayer was excruciatingly difficult, when he was sweating blood, when he was totally anxious, he continued to pray. His model was a model for the early church. When Jesus told them to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it would have been very easy for them to go down and say a quick little prayer, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, kindle in them in the fire of your love, and then the Holy Spirit come down." Nope. He had to pray the first day. Day 2, 3, 4, 5, onward to day 10. And that's when the Holy Spirit came down. Persevering prayer. Later on in the Acts of the Apostles, we see that the early church persevered in prayer, in the breaking of bread, the Eucharist, in the common life, having all things together, and in the teaching of the apostles. That the early Christians persevered in prayer. And we likewise are called to persevere in prayer. Jesus gave us that beautiful episode with the Canaanite woman, who, when she came to ask for a miracle for her daughter, Jesus first ignored her, then the apostle said, "Get rid of her." And then he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to you pagans." And then he said, "It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." Any one of those four things would have been able to discourage a person who was just going to ask once nicely, and if didn't get the answer, off she went. But she continued to persevere and said, "But even the little dogs receive the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And that's why Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith." And he asks at the end of this gospel, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find women and men like the Canaanite who continued to pray even when Jesus was challenging her faith, not insulting her, but asking her to dig more deeply, like this persistent widow?" Blessed Virgin Mary, whom we remember every Saturday, is a woman of persistent prayer. She was teaching the early church how to pray. She was constantly contemplating things in her heart and treasuring them. She was a contemplative in the midst of all her activities. The entire church continues to pray with her, like the early church at Pentecost. How many times do we reach out to her? 53 times a day or more. "Pray for us now and at the hour of our death." And we know that she's not turning a deaf ear to those prayers, that she is praying for us now. She's praying for us at the hour of our death. In this month of November, one form of persistent prayer we must focus on is praying for our dead loved ones persistently. Not just praying once, not just having a funeral mass celebrated for them when they die, but to pray for them persistently. Because if anybody tells you they're in a better place, we don't know that. We hope that. We have great grounds to hope that. But we don't know, except if Pope Francis has canonized them, or they were a baby who was baptized who died before the age of reason. For everybody else, we turn to Our Lady and we say, "Pray for us now and at the hour of our death." And that hour of death, not just ours, but others, including those we love, doesn't mean what we would say in Greek, the chronos of death, but also the kairos of death. We're asking Mary to pray for us at the very instant we die, because that's when we're judged. And our prayers now can actually impact people before, because prayer is made to a God as eternal. And we can pray for people who even died 300 years ago that they would have embraced God at the hour of their death. But it's also the opportunity, the kairos of death, that entire phase of death. We continue to ask Mary to pray for them and to pray for us. Today we have a saint whom the church has always used as this persistent prayer for our loved ones after they've died. St. Gertrude the Great was a tremendous mystic, and her prayers are famous. But perhaps her most famous prayer of all is the prayer for those in purgatory, said by devout Christians for the last 7 centuries. And in that prayer, she turns to God the Father, offers the blood of His Son, offers essentially the Eucharist for all the souls in purgatory, for all sinners in the church, universally, in her family, etc., that we were constantly offering that persevering prayer, so that the type of conversion we heard about in the first reading, where the Red Sea became a pathway, or the flood became a grassy field, that the same type of transformation, same type of conversion can happen in us and in our loved ones, to persevere in prayer. The greatest of all persevering prayers is the prayer of the Mass. From the rising of the sun to the setting, and even after the setting to the next rising, this prayer Jesus made from the Last Supper and the cross, continues, and it'll continue until the end of time. And this is the prayer into which we insert our persevering prayers. By our perseverance, we will secure our lives, and by God's design, also help to secure the lives of those we love. Let us pray for all our beloved dead with the persistence with which St. Gertrude did, and so many have persevered with her in asking for. Praise be Jesus Christ.